Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers, respectable elders, honorable youngsters, viewers of Madin channel, there are many, many benefits and rewards of sending durood or salam upon the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. According to one narration, it is stated, whoever recites salat upon me 1,000 times in a day, he will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, نية المؤمن خير من عمله. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions so we can increase the reward for the good actions that we carry out. First and foremost, our intention should be present in our hearts and minds that we are here to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody say inshaAllah. Also make this intention present in your hearts and minds that whatever you hear today, whatever you listen to today, we'll try to remember it, try to act upon it, and try to pass it on to other Muslim brothers and sisters inshaAllah. My topic is about a beautiful city which is known as the city of Muhabba, the city of love. And to begin with, I want to mention a beautiful story highlighting our pious predecessors, our saints, our Buzurgan-e-Deen, and how much love they had for this city. And this incident is about a Buzurg, a great scholar, not too long ago, by the name of Sayyid Ahmad Sa'id Kazmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. He was also known as Ghazali-e-Zama. And this famous scholar, he resided in Pakistan. He was someone who was known to be an Ashik-e-Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone who was a severe lover of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An extreme lover of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's an incident regarding him. That when he went to Medina and he went to the blessed Rawda, the blessed grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to present his salam and his greetings to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So when he reaches Medina and he stands in front of the golden grills of the blessed grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that moment his full attention is towards the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He is directing his face towards the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the utmost adab, respect and etiquette and concentration. He is sending durood and salam upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tears are flowing from his eyes and he is standing still like a statue in front of the blessed grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to maintain the most highest level of adab. All of a sudden there was a disrespectful man. And that spiritual moment that Ghazali-e-Zama rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was going through, this disrespectful man disrupted that spiritual moment in an intimidating manner, started shouting at him. And he said, Ya Haji, don't turn your back to the Kaaba. to the Qibla. Because when you stand in front of the blessed Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you face it directly, automatically your back is towards the Qibla, towards the Kaaba. So this was the manner in which he was standing. So this disrespectful man, in an intimidating manner, in a disrespectful manner, he addresses Ghazali Zama rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he says, Haji, don't turn your back to the Kaaba. If you want to do the dua, then face the Kaaba. Meaning turn your back towards the blessed grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and turn your face towards the Qibla, towards the Kaaba. But because this was Ghazali Zama, a true lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who knew what adab was, who knew the adab, the respect of the place where he is standing and who he is standing before, he did not let the words of that disrespectful man get to him. He ignored the man's words and he continued doing dua in front of the Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He continued his supplications. Now this disrespectful man, he remembered his face. He left him. He let him be. But the next day, he found Ghazali Zaman in Medina and he accused him of a crime. And what was the crime he accused him of? That he was facing the Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he took him to his senior official. So when he went to his senior official, the senior official, he asked him, do you consider the Prophet's grave sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be more superior to the Kaaba? The senior official asked Ghazali Zama, do you consider the Prophet's grave, the Prophet's Rawda, to be more superior than the Kaaba? Now, the great Shaykh, he was a great scholar as well. He was Hazir Damag, very sharp-minded, present-minded. And whenever he would answer somebody, he wouldn't just give any answer. Whatever answer he would ever give, he would give such an answer that would leave the person in front speechless. And because he was sharp-minded, the question that was asked to him by the senior official is that, do you consider the Prophet's grave to be more greater and more superior than the Kaaba? Now listen to the brilliance of the response of Ghazali Zama rahmatullahi ta'ala. He says, you're talking about the Kaaba? You're comparing the Rawda with the Kaaba and asking me, is the Rawda of the Prophet, the blessed grave of the Prophet, more greater than the Kaaba? Listen, I consider the Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be far more greater than the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You talk about the Kaaba, it's more even superior than the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this official, when he heard this, was saying, give evidence for this. Give evidence for this. So he was a scholar. He wasn't only an ashiqi rasul, he was a great scholar of his time. And he replied, now listen to his evidence that he gave. He says, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you, O my servants, if you are thankful to me, if you are grateful, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will increase you, meaning I will give you more bounties and more blessings. So he says, we have the Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is a thankful servant of Allah. He is a grateful servant of Allah. And Allah is saying that my servants who are grateful to me, I will give you more. And currently, we all know from the narrations, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is currently resting on the fourth heaven. So since he's amongst the grateful people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is saying, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that, oh my servants, if you are grateful to me, I will give you more. And Isa alayhi salam is a grateful servant of Allah, and he is on the fourth heaven. Then this means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should elevate him to a higher place, to a better place, to a more superior place. Why? Because he is grateful to Allah. And Allah gives more to a person who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So based on this, Isa alayhi salam is on the fourth heaven. He is grateful to Allah. Based on the verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should elevate the rank of Isa alayhi salam even more higher, even more superior, more honorable than where he currently resides. But we know from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa salam will descend from the fourth heaven to the earth. And after he passes away, where will he be his place of resting? He will be buried beside guide Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Shaykh goes on to explain further. He says, this proves that the Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, who was to be granted a higher and a more excellent place as a reward for his thankfulness based on the verse of the Quran, will not be raised to the fifth heaven, will not be raised to the sixth heaven, will not be raised to Sidratul Muntaha or even the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, the loftier, the more virtuous, the more greater, the more superior place that will be given to him beyond his current fourth heaven is the blessed and illuminated resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you ask me, that is the Rawda more greater than the Kaaba? My aqeedah, as Ghazali Zama, my aqeedah is that the great Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds no comparison to the Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he gave such an answer to the senior official, the senior official was left speechless, subhanAllah. He had no answer. This was his ishq. This was his love that he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, for the rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And as I mentioned at the beginning of my speech, the bayan is about a city. And this city, you may have noticed already, is the beautiful city of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Al-Madina, which means the city. Al-Munawwara, the enlightened city. The brightened city, the illuminating city, the illuminated city. This is the name of this beautiful city. And with regards to the conversation about which is more better, is it Mecca? Is it Medina? The ulama have discussed this. The ulama have spoken regarding this. They say, what is better, Mecca or is it Medina? And they have detailed discussions on this. But the conclusion of the scholars with regards to what is more better, is it Mecca or is it Medina? The conclusion of their conversation, that is it Mecca or is it Medina? The ulama, they have said that the blessed grave of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the blessed grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, yani the part of the land, listen carefully to this, the part of the land that is in contact with the blessed body, the part of that land which is in contact with the blessed body of Rasulullah is better than the Kaaba and even better than the lofty arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to this again. The ulama, after such lengthy discussions, after such detailed writing, they have concluded and they have decided and given the verdict that out of Mecca and Medina, what is better? They conclude that that part of the land which is in contact with the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is better than the Kaaba, and not only the Kaaba, is even better and more loftier than the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, aside to the blessed Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I've mentioned, what about the Kaaba itself? The ulama then say, the Kaaba is the greatest place after this. The first is that part of land which is in contact with the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's greater than the Kaaba. It's greater than the Arsh. The second place is the Kaaba, where the Kaaba is located. That place is then the most greatest. And then after the discussion regarding the blessed Rawda and the Kaaba, then the ulama say, what about the rest of Mecca and the rest of Medina? The rest of Mecca and the rest of Medina, then there's a difference of opinion. But with regards to this, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar bin Al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, his opinion was that Medina, the rest of Medina is better than the rest of Mecca, subhanAllah. And many Sahaba had this opinion as well. Many pious saints also held this opinion that Medina as a whole is more better than Mecca as a whole, excluding the Kaaba. But then the Kaaba is not as great as the Rawda of Rasulullah, because that part of the land which is in contact with the body of Rasulullah is even more greater than the Kaaba. And not only the Kaaba, even more greater than the Arsh of Allah subhanahu. And then it's mentioned in the hadith regarding Medina. Al-Madinatu afdalu min Mecca. That Medina is more greater and more better than Mecca. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And one special virtue that Medina holds is that it is known as the city of love, the city of Mahabba. There are more than 100 names for Medina, subhanAllah. More than 100 names have been used to describe this beautiful city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them names is Muhabba. One of them names is Mahbuba. And one of them names is Muhabbaba. These three words sound similar. Mahbuba, Muhabba, and Muhabbaba. And they all come from the word love, the city of love. So why is Medina called Mahbuba? Because it is beloved to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is the city called Muhabba? Because it is a city of love. And why is it called Muhabbaba? Because this great city is truly where the Muslims express their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, it's mentioned by the great Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hakim Al-Nisaburiyu rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam intended to migrate from Makkah to Medina. Now bear in mind, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent majority of his lifetime in Makkah. He didn't spend much time in Medina. But when he intended to migrate to Medina from Makkah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he made a supplication. Now Makkah was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Makkah very much. It was dear to him. It was dear to him in his heart. He spent majority of his lifetime. Now generally speaking, as human beings, it's our nature. Where you live for a long time, you get used to that city. You get used to that town. You get used to that country. And you like that place. When you go to a different place, you find it hard to settle because you're not used to it. So similarly, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when he stayed in Makkah for majority of his life, he loved Makkah. And now he was commanded to migrate to Medina. So when he was migrating to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he did a dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, Ya Allah, Allahumma, innaka in akhrajtani min ahabbil biladi ilayya, fa'askinni fi ahabbil biladi ilayka. That, O Allah, if you have brought me out from the city which I love, meaning the city of Makkah, O Allah, if you have brought me out from the city I love the most, which is Makkah, make me dwell, make me reside, make me settle in the city which is the most beloved to you. SubhanAllah. And which city did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then reside in? Medina. So the ulama say from this hadith, it becomes evident that the most beloved city to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't Makkah, rather it was Medina, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua was, Ya Allah, make me reside in that city which is the most beloved to you. And he resided in Medina, subhanAllah. So Medina was very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beloved is it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Medina, this beautiful city, like I said, it's got 100 names. In the previous scriptures, the previous heavenly scriptures, this city has been mentioned, and it has been mentioned with different names. Hazrat Ka'b al-Ahbar radiyallahu ta'ala an, he was a scholar of both the Tawrat and the Quran. He was an alim of the Tawrat and he was an alim of the Quran. He says, and who knows better than him, because he was an alim of the Tawrat. He says that in the Tawrat, that this Tawrat which was revealed to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he says in the Tawrat, Allah mentioned Medina and addressed Medina in the following way. Ya Tayyiba, Ya Taba, Ya Maskina. Three names Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to address the beautiful city of Medina in the Tawrat. Ya Tayyiba, Ya Taba, and Ya Maskina, O Tayyiba, O Taba, and O Maskina. Now I'll explain each one of these, what they mean. Tayyiba is from the word Tayyib, which means pure. So Medina is a city of purity. It's a pure city. And Taba is similar. And Maskina is from the word Sakina and Sukoon. Yani Medina is that city where a person goes and he feels Sukoon. He goes and he feels peace and tranquility. If he is suffering from any kind of grief, any kind of sorrow, he goes to Medina, and what happens? He finds sukoon. He finds taskeen. He finds sakina, tranquility. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the city by these words, Ya Tayyiba, Ya Taba, and Ya Maskina. O Tayyiba, O Taba, and O peaceful land. So imagine, just the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam helps his followers by removing their grief and their sorrows, so do the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the Quran, this was regarding the previously heavenly scriptures. Now let's come to the Quran. In the Quran, Medina has been mentioned. The actual word Medina has been mentioned 4 times. It appears in the Quran 4 times. And then in para number 15, Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 80 says the words, Mudakhala Sidqin. Mudakhala Sidqin, which means a true place and a good place to enter. What is the true place to enter? What is the good place to enter? Here in this verse, Allah is referring to the beautiful city of Medina. That Medina is the true place to enter. Medina is a good place to enter. In Surah An-Nisa, in para number 5, in verse number 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Medina once again. But this time he doesn't use the word Medina. He uses the words Ardullah, the land of Allah. Subhanallah, Medina has been declared the land of Allah. As Muslims, it's our belief that all this entire universe, the heavens and the earth, Sari Zameen, every single land on the face of this earth is the land of Allah. Lekin how great is Medina that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he described Medina, he said Allah's land, subhanallah. And this is the land of Allah. Allah connected the land of Medina to his own name to give it more excellence, subhanallah. Just like we say Baytullah, the house of Allah, and in the Kaaba, it's called Baytullah, the house of Allah. Why is it called Baytullah? To give it the extra speciality. That this is not any house, it's not any ordinary house, but this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly, this is not any ordinary city. This is Ardullah. This is that city which has been declared as the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Medina in a different manner. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Sahaba from Makkah migrated to Medina, the migrating Sahaba were called the Muhajirun, the migrants, those who migrated. Those who were already living in Medina, they were known as the Al-Ansar, the Ansar, those who helped them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Ansar, the helpers who lived in Medina. And he describes them by mentioning the city of Medina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Medina in 2 ways here. Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah says regarding the Ansar Sahaba, those who were living in Medina already before migration, those people, Allah says, and those who made this city, which city? Medina. Those who made this city and faith and abode before them. Regarding this verse, the ulama, especially Al-Imam Al-Baydawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he writes in his commentary of the Quran, he says, those who made the abode of migration, Darul Hijra, the place to migrate to, those who made the Darul Hijra and the abode of faith, Darul Iman, the home of Iman, the place of Iman. He says, explaining the verse, he says, those who made the abode of migration, Darul Hijra, and those who made the abode of faith, Darul Iman, their homes, this refers to the Ansar noble companions whose sincerity and truthfulness became clear. They had already made Medina their home. They embraced Iman and they remained firm upon both faith and their residence in Medina. Imam Yadabi rahimahullah, he further explains, in this verse, Allah Almighty called Medina by two names, Darul Iman and Darul Hijrah. Darul Hijrah, because it was the place to migrate. And why was it called Darul Iman? The Imam says, in this verse, Allah Almighty called Medina Darul Iman, and the reason is because Iman spread from Medina and Iman will return back to Medina. And this is why it's called Darul Iman. Jahan se Iman spread hua, Islam ki da'wat hui, the Sahaba Ikram, when from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they embraced Iman, then they spread out in all four corners of the world. And they brought people towards Islam. This is why in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it's mentioned. He said, Al-Madinatu Darul Iman. SubhanAllah. That what is Medina? Medina is the abode. It's the place. It's the house of Iman. SubhanAllah. So in this we learn that Medina is Darul Hijrah and is Darul Iman as well. Then here we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Medina. Rasulullah loves Medina. The pious scholars love Medina. Now let's listen to an account regarding the angels. How much they love Medina. It's mentioned in a narration. Sayyidina Ka'ab al-Ahbar, again the narrator of this hadith. He says, beautiful hadith. Most of you may have heard this before as well. He says, Medina is such a beautiful city. He says that when Fajr begins, 70,000 angels arrive in Medina. They cover the blessed Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their wings. And what do? At the blessed Rawda, 70,000 angels in the morning, every Fajr, every morning, every single day. What do? Yusalluna ala nabi subhanahu. They send durood o salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. 70,000 angels every Fajr reciting durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These angels remain present until evening. So from Fajr the morning to evening. When evening comes, these angels depart. Another group of 70,000 angels arrive. Then from that evening till the next morning, this second group covers the blessed Rawda with their wings, and they continue to send durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this blessed routine will continue like this till the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Every single morning to evening, and every single evening to the morning, 70,000 angels come to pay their respect in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And in another narration, it's mentioned that these group of angels that have come, they will only get one opportunity in their lifetime. They will not be able to come back again. Lekin, subhanallah, how lucky is the fortunate Muslim that when he goes to the blessed Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he doesn't go once, he doesn't go twice or thrice, he keeps on going again and again, again and again, again and again, again and again. And he has the opportunity to present his salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No doubt this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then talking about angels, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, how much did he love Medina? How much was Medina beloved to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam? You'll understand this from this narration. It says that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he came to the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. How many times? 24,000 times he paid a visit to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was honored and privileged to be in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not once or twice, 24,000 times Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam over a period of 23 years. Out of those 10 years were the visits to Medina Munawwara, subhanAllah. Now if you work it out, if you calculate an average, not exactly, but an average, it means Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam around 3 times every single day. Allahu Akbar. 3 times every single day. And that's how the total becomes 24,000 visits in 23 years. So from this you can understand how much love Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and not only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam, but also the blessed city of Medina. Now, I've mentioned Allah's love for the beautiful city of Medina, Rasulullah's love for the beautiful city of Medina. I've even mentioned the angels' love for the beautiful city of Medina. I've mentioned that the beautiful city of Medina has been mentioned in the Torah, and what names have been mentioned. It's been mentioned in the Quran as Darul Iman and Darul Hijrah. Now, let's listen to another account of our pious saints, how much love they had for the beautiful city of Medina. Mawlana Sardar Ahmad Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, another great recent scholar of our times in Pakistan. He's passed away now, but a great scholar of his time. He was Ashiqi Rasul, a true lover of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had deep love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. It says, one way he would express his love for the beautiful city of Medina, it says that when he would visit the blessed city of Medina, Mawlana Sardar Ahmad Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, a great scholar of his time, a great muhaddis of his time. He says, when he would have the opportunity to go and visit the beautiful city of Medina, on his way back, he would bury some of his hair and some of his nails in the beautiful city. On his way back, returning from the beautiful city, he would bury some of his hair and some of his nails. And he would say in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making a plea, humbly requesting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would say, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I may not have control over dying in Medina, but I am at least leaving behind a part of my body buried here. For someone like me, this is a great honor, this is a great privilege. Look how much love they had for the beautiful city of Medina, that they would leave their hair to be buried inside Medina, so some part of their body can still remain inside the beautiful city. They may leave, they may come back to their hometown, but such was their connection, such was their love for Medina, that they would leave their body parts behind. SubhanAllah. From this we can understand how much love we should have for the beautiful city of Medina. And concluding, one more story, and let's conclude the bayan. This beautiful story is regarding the great father, who was a great scholar of his time, the great father of the great Imam, Imam Ahmad Rida Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. He became ill. He was physically weak. One day, he was asleep. His eyes were closed. But when his eyes were closed, the eyes of his heart opened, and he saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his dream. SubhanAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam commanded him, come to Medina. Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, when he wakes up, although he was weak, he didn't have enough strength, he was physically weak, he knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had instructed him. This was an order. So he immediately made a firm intention. By the way, this was in the time of Zulqa'dah, next to the month of Hajj, when he had this dream. So he immediately made an intention to travel for Hajj. His family members, looking at his condition, that he's too weak, they requested him, oh respected Shaykh, your health is not great. Even if you go next year, you will still be fulfilling the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So wait till next year. But such was his love and the adab that he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He knew his health wasn't the best. He knew he was sick. He knew he was weak. But despite this, he made his intention. And he said, I will go. And what did he say? He says, if I step out of the door with the intention of going to Medina, and my soul leaves my body at the very moment, so be it. SubhanAllah. If this is what Allah wills for me, then so be it. So Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, along with his son, the great Imam, Imam Ahmad Rida Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, and a few other family members, they set out for Hajj. Imam Ahmad Rida Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam appeared again in my father's dream, and he gave my father a bowl of medicine, subhanallah. Because of the blessings of this medicine, my father's illness became lighter. He performed all the faraiz and the wajibat and the rituals of Hajj. And he went to the ziyarah of the blessed Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with full energy, just like a healthy person. Then with full respect and deep love, he was also blessed with the beautiful visit of Medina Tayyiba, subhanAllah. This was his yaqeen that he had. This was his iman, the love that he had for the beautiful city of Medina. As soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam came into his dream, he knew this was a command by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And he knew he had to go to Medina. He knew he had to go and pay a visit to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So my dear brothers, this city is known as the city of Mahabba, city of love, the city which is known as Mahbuba, which is beloved to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The city which is known as Darul Iman, the city of Iman. As Muslims, we should have this yearning, this passion, this love, this desire to go and visit the beautiful city of Medina. And when we are there, we must maintain the most highest level, ultimate level of adab, etiquettes. And when we are leaving from Medina, there should be tears flowing from our eyes. We should be sad. We should be upset. Like the way someone passes away, we become sad. When one of our loved ones passes away, he's deceased, what happens? We cry for him. In a similar manner, we are leaving the beautiful city of Medina. The pious Buzurg, when they would leave, Qibla Amir al-Sunnat, we've seen him a few times, we've seen him on Badli channel as well, that when they leave Medina, when they are departing to come back to their hometown, Karachi, you see them, the love that they have for Medina is so much that they are crying. They are hugging the walls of Medina. They are hugging the pillars of Medina. They are hugging the trees of Medina. They are kissing the walls of Medina. This is love. This is the passion that Muslims have for Medina. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to understand the true significance, the value, the importance of Medina, and give us the love for Medina as well. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the opportunity to visit the beautiful city of Mecca and Medina time and time again in our lifetimes. Ameen. Bijahi an-Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم.
مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.